Couple of weeks ago, my son-in-law came home. They were visiting with us, and he came home from service, and I had preached a lesson on, we're in the middle of a series of sermons that we're calling Family Feuding and How to End It, and I had preached a lesson about wives' responsibility, and he came home, and as we were at the dinner table, he kind of grinned. He said, I was in the men's bathroom, and he said, I don't know who the guy was, but said he took this deep sigh and he said, well, I guess he's going to get on us next. So, guys, I put it off as long as I can. It's our turn to consider the husband's role in the marriage, and we'll have more than one lesson on this. But you'll notice, I hope that you'll notice in this series of lessons, I'm not really hammering anybody. I didn't with the wives. And I'll not with the husbands. Because God's instructions for our husbands and wives are to make our lives much more pleasant. And if we will be serious about taking into account and incorporating into our lives what the Lord teaches us about how to have a happy home, then this is not difficult. This is not something that is painful. Now, I do want to give a disclaimer. I feel obligated to. Let me say that I don't hold myself up as a perfect example of the things that I'm about to share with you. I'll borrow from my brother Paul when he said, not that I've already obtained all this or I've already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And then secondly, I want to say, guys, we all need this. We need to be reminded. Not only us as guys, but we all need to be taught how to love our spouses, husbands and wives. The very fact that Paul instructed the older women to teach the younger women how to love their husbands necessarily indicates that we don't naturally know everything that we need to know in this area. None of us do. And as I've mentioned before, the world is filled with advice on marriage. Everybody is an expert on marriage and child rearing. And most of it's wrong. Most of the world is we're taking our cues from the wrong persons. For instance, in 1970, Alvin Toffler wrote a book entitled Future Shock. Some of you probably have read it. And one of the premise in that book says, as conventional marriage proves itself less and less capable of delivering on its promise of lifelong love, we can anticipate open public acceptance of temporary marriages. Now, that's kind of prophetic, wasn't it, 1970? And he goes on and suggests an apprentice period for people contemplating marriage. And he specifically suggests a 5-year terminal point for all marriages with the option of either renewal or cancellation of the contract at that point. 5 years. And he goes on and suggests that the government provide government-financed substitute parents for those who choose to dissolve that marriage. Now that's an example of the world's solution. And evidently some folks took it to heart, didn't they? God's answer to our marriage problem is this. Everybody learns to submit to everyone else in a God-ordained way. You have a role, and I have a role. Ephesians chapter 5, and we've used that as our scripture reading for the last couple of weeks, is our foundational passage. Wives, submit to your husbands as the head. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loves the church. Both of those are submissive roles. And so for a while, beginning with today's lesson, we're going to talk about how does Christ love his bride, the church. And the first thing that I'm going to say is he understands and cares about her needs. Now think about this. And by the way, nothing that I say today do I mean lightly. Now, we're going to have a few things that I think will help this a little bit, but you may think that some of the things that we're going to say are really not that important. I would suggest to you that they might be. And you might really think about some of these things. If you haven't figured it out yet, guys, a woman doesn't think like you do. God created men and women differently. And men and women, in some ways, think differently. And this causes no end of frustration for both men and women. For example, when you come into your house and you see from your wife's expression or her actions that something is bothering her, then you say, "What's wrong?" And she says, and we can all say it together if you'd like, she says, "Nothing." Right? Now, let me ask you a question, guys. This is a quiz. Is that true? In case you want to find out, then you just assume that it is and say, "Okay," and walk away. And you'll find out that she lied. And so, because you have no other choice, you keep asking. And finally, you say, "What's wrong?" And she says, "Nothing." And you say, "Yeah, something is wrong." And she says, "Nothing is wrong." And you keep asking. And finally, she says, believe it or not, "If you don't know, what? I'm not going to tell you." What? What is this? What is this? Have you ever had a conversation with a guy like that? Or how about this? You're working on a project and you need some bolts from the store, and you decide you're going to run to the store, make a quick run, and so as you're going out, headed out, you think, maybe my wife would like to ride with me. And so you say, "Honey, I'm going to the store. Would you like to ride?" And she says, "What? Do you want me to go?" Now, I just know this because people tell me this. I don't know this personally, okay? And the guy says, "What?" She said, "Do you want me to go?" And the guy says, "What? Well, I asked you to go, and I wouldn't have asked you if I didn't want you to go." And she says, "But do you really want me to go?" And you say, "I don't understand. I wouldn't have asked you if I didn't want you to go." "I know, but are you asking me because you feel obligated to, or because you really want me to go?" And you think, and you say, "You know what? I'm not going to the store. I'm going out to mow the yard." Well, we could continue, but I'm probably in enough trouble now, so I think I'll stop. My point is, because men and women think differently in some areas, these differences are potential sources for problems. Because we don't handle one another's communication very well. And if you're not willing to take some time to understand and care about the things that your spouse cares about, then you're never going to fully realize the support, the security, and the fulfillment that God intends for you to have. And if you just out of hand dismiss these things as being foolish, then you're not going to have a very happy marriage. We have to take some time to understand one another. And when you stop and think about it, guys, aren't you glad that God didn't create women just like us? Now, I mean, in some of your moments, you'll say, you need to think like a guy. You need to feel like, no, God created women differently, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing if we'll learn those differences and to understand those differences and use those differences to each other's betterment. But if not, then your marriage is going to be a war that's going to cripple both of you in your spirit. Guys, I'm going to share with you this morning some practical principles, just a couple that will improve your marriage. And we'll look into the text next lesson. But just some practical advice from me to you. And the first one is lighten up. Lighten up some. We guys have a tendency to take ourselves really, really seriously. Do you know what is one of the primary traits that a young woman is looking for in a guy? Is he fun? Is he fun? Now, if you don't believe that, ask a young lady. Is he fun? She likes to be around somebody that's fun. And by the way, so do you. So I'm going to ask us guys a question. And I want you to really stop a minute and think about it. When is the last time that you and your wife laughed together? When is the last time? Just take a good deep breath right now and say, answer. Can you remember the last time that the two of you just enjoyed being together and having a good laugh? You know, that drains a lot of stress out of our lives when we do that. You want to know why I started this lesson with some humor? Because sometimes, I heard somebody say one time, a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. There are some really serious things that we as guys need to look at. There's some personal things that we're going to be looking at in the next few lessons that for some of us are going to be a little bit difficult to take. And one of the reasons is because some of us take ourselves so seriously that we just can't really believe that doing something like sitting down and having a laugh with our wife is of any real importance. But if we're really truly serious about being a leader in our home, then we need to understand one another and submit to one another. By the way, do you know what a really good definition of a leader is? You know, you've probably all had classes on leadership, and we spend a lot of time talking about what a leader is. Well, a real simple definition of what a leader is a leader is the one that people are following. You can define leadership any way you want to, but that's the way it works out. A leader is the one that people are following. And guys, if you'll honestly turn around and look behind you and see if anybody's following, you'll know whether or not you're a leader. And if you'll really be honest with yourself, and if we find out that there's not anybody that's really following, or if they are following, they're following reluctantly, then maybe the reason might be that some of us are so uptight and hostile that if we were our own boss, we'd quit. We wouldn't put up with what we dish out. And so some of us need to lighten up. Being a male is not this picture of a gorilla pounding on his chest and telling everybody he's the king. Being a male doesn't entitle you to a lifelong ego trip. And being a male doesn't automatically mean that you're right about everything. Now, ladies, if you dare and if you want to, you can punch your husband in the ribs about right now, if you'd like to. In this thing of lightening up, one of the things that we need to do is we need to have some emotions. We need to let ourselves have some emotions other than anger. We guys are pretty good about having the emotion of anger. We don't have a corner on the market, but we're pretty good about displaying our anger, aren't we? By the way, do you know why? Because a display of anger puts you on the offensive, when sometimes you ought to be on the defensive. When sometimes you ought to be apologetic, you get mad. You ever seen anybody that got caught doing something they shouldn't be doing and their reaction was anger? You know why? because that helps turn the table so that you don't have to say, I'm sorry. You don't have to say, I'm wrong. You can start beating on your chest and putting on your act and make everybody cow down with your anger. Whenever you were a little boy and you hurt yourself and your daddy came into the scene, what did he say to you? Big boys don't cry. And it took. And we tried not to cry, didn't we? And we surely wouldn't cry around our daddy, would we? But you know, that, whether you realize it or not, that line addresses a lot more than crying. It really addresses all emotions. And so in some of our minds, emotions, we tend to think of emotions as a sign of weakness if we let our emotions show. And guys, that creates a serious barrier with our wives. For instance, when there's a problem that your wife wants to talk to you about, she might say to you somewhere in that conversation, well, how do you feel about that? I'm with you guys, okay? You know what I want to say? When she asks me how I feel about this problem, I want to say, it doesn't matter how I feel because that's not going to change anything. Are you with me? I mean, I really do. There's a part of me that's the way I really do feel, and that's the way I really do think. Why talk about how I feel because it's not going to change anything? And so let's just skip that conversation and let's get down to something that's going to help the matter. You're making a mistake. I've made the mistake many times, and I really have to bite my tongue sometimes to not continue making that mistake. Because I'm not real comfortable talking about how I feel about something. Because for one thing, it seems like a weakness to sit down and say, well, I'm really sad. Or I'm really discouraged. Or I'm frustrated and I don't know what to do. We don't want to say those things because we've been taught you got to handle the problem. And so we cut straight to, in our own thinking, we cut straight to the heart of the matter and we say, okay, here's a problem and here's what we're going to do about it. We're going to do this. And when we do this, this is going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, then we're going to do this. And we just start 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And that frustrates our wives as much as her asking you how you feel frustrates you and wanting you to talk about your emotions. We don't think alike. And that doesn't make either one of us right or wrong. It's just the way that it is. And I really want to be a little bit careful about what I say right here. And I put a lot of time into thinking about what to say and what not to say and how to say it. Because it would really be easy for me as a guy to be heavy on one side and light on the other. Generally, men don't feel a need to talk about our feelings, and women do. That's not an absolute, but that's generally true. There is a need that men may never understand or appreciate that your wife has. But you better understand that it exists, and you better learn to care about it in order to meet that need in your wife, or you're going to have a frustrated wife. Guys, just in case you don't know about it yet, I'm about to share with you one of the great mysteries of life here. I'll get up on top of the mountain and cross my legs and be the guru or whatever here. But this is one of those great mysteries of loving your wife. And I don't want you to tell them that I told you this. Because women tend to think that men are really simple and that they're really complex. And sometimes women are really simple. When your wife comes to you with a problem, I don't expect you to understand this. If you don't know about this, I don't expect you to understand it. I'm just saying you better accept it. When your wife comes to you with a problem, she doesn't necessarily want you to solve the problem. Now, what sense does that make? But I'm telling you, you don't have to understand. It's kind of like that switch on your wall when you walk into a dark room and you bump that switch up and a light comes on. You don't have to understand everything that took place in order to flip that switch, okay? But you better learn to flip the switch. Let me tell you what she wants. When she comes to you and she's really distressed, she wants you to know how she feels about this. And she wants to know how you feel about this. And when everything inside of you is crying out, it doesn't make any difference how we feel about it. Bite your tongue as hard as you have to keep it silent. And listen. And don't try to come up with a solution right then. You're going to work on the solution later, but you can do that later. Just listen. And when she's through, and make sure she's through, and listen attentively. And when she's through, go over to her and put your arm around her and say, "Honey, everything's going to be all right." And you're not going to believe it, but that's all she wants. She doesn't want to hear how you're going to solve the problem, how you're going to attack it and plan A, B, and C. She doesn't want to hear that. She just wants you to understand how she feels. Men and women are not alike. Because we guys, we tend to clam up, don't we? We tend to not talk. And whenever there's a really big problem, we tend to get quieter and quieter. Women want to talk about it. And not only do they want to talk about it, they want to tell you how they feel about it. And you say, "Well, what good does that do?" And my answer to you is, have you ever found some new catfish bait that catches fish better than any bait you've ever had before in your life? You may not understand, you may not ever understand why that bait's better than other bait, but it doesn't keep you from using it, does it? You're probably thinking, "Preacher, you didn't tell us very much." And my response to you is, ask your wife on the way home. And if I didn't hit it square on the head, I hit it close enough that she'll tell you where I missed it. And that's a good thing. You better listen. Because you're communicating. Maybe some of us, for the first time in a really, really, really long time. And guys, you'll find out that if you care enough to listen and to talk to your spouse and to God together, you can overcome your problems in your marriage. And some of you think this is too simple and too foolish, and well, you're welcome to your opinion, but you're wrong. And you better listen. You know, when I see guys that come in my office and whenever there's a marriage problem, you know when I see guys? Whenever it's too late. That's when I see guys. They come in my office and they sit down and they're broken and they're crying because their wife for the last 5 years has been trying to tell them that there's a problem in our marriage. And we keep saying, "I don't have a problem. If there's a problem, you have a problem." Well, I got some news for you guys. If your wife's got a problem, you got a problem. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You better listen. And you better listen with an open heart. And in spite of what we think, the solution to most of life's problems is really simple. I didn't say it was easy. I said it was simple. One of the keys to a happy marriage is to learn how to avoid problems. And you avoid problems by caring enough to sit down and listen to some things that may be uncomfortable for you to hear. And then to do some things that may be uncomfortable, uncharacteristic of you to do. And maybe part of the problem is the very fact that it's uncharacteristic of you to sit down and listen and to talk. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, in a couple of lessons we're going to look at this, and it says, husbands, in the same way, dwelling with your wife according to knowledge. There's some stuff you need to know. Treating them with respect, number two. And number three, he says, living with them as co-heirs of the gracious life. Your partners, guys. Your partners. It's not Tarzan and Jane. Your partners together. And your wife wants to be your helper. She wants to be your partner, if you'll let her. But sadly, you can deny that problems exist until it becomes too late. And I'm begging you for your marriage sake, guys. Don't wait too late. Don't keep pushing it off. If your wife is telling you there's a problem, there's a problem. Whether you accept it and not accepting it doesn't help anything. And beating your chest and slamming the door doesn't accomplish anything except making it worse. It's time for us to surrender to God's plan and submit to God's role of being a leader in our home. Maybe you need some prayers while we stand and sing. God is calling.